Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America College Baseball Podcast. As always, I'm Jacob Rudner. I'm joined by Peter Flaherty. Peter, it's good to be back once every 2 weeks, as always, in the offseason. Before we get going with our loaded show today, obviously there are a couple college baseball topics that we are yet to touch on. How are you?
Good. Great to be back. It's not like we missed a whole lot. Obvious sarcasm implied. But last night's World Series game three between the Dodgers and Jays was unreal. I mean, it immediately is on my personal one of my best games of all time and has to rank among the best games in MLB history. We've obviously got a ton of news in the coaching world on the college side with Coach Vitello accepting the manager job with the San Francisco Giants and a whole lot of other fall nuggets to dive into. And in otherwise, usually like a quiet part of the calendar, especially as it pertains to coaching carousel stuff, but it's kind of been the antithesis of that. So it's added a degree of fun to both of our falls.
No doubt. If this was an in-season podcast, for those of you who are not new to the show, you would know that we end our shows with final thoughts. Will Klein would be an outstanding final thought. I'll make it like a first thought here just to kind of put a bow on last night. Four innings to basically save the Dodgers in game three. Last time he pitched more than three innings, and that's why we're talking about it on the college pod, was at Eastern Illinois in March of 2020, right before the season got shut down. He was a starter for Eastern Illinois, hasn't been a starter since. Last night was a hero. Obviously, Freddie Freeman is going to get a lot of attention, but our college friend, so therefore a friend of the show, Will Klein, was the real hero. So remember that. Peter, we got to talk about some big stuff. We got to talk about Tony Vitello. We haven't had a chance to do that yet. On the college pod, we are going once every 2 weeks for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, today being Tuesday, October 28th. And since we last spoke to you, Tony Vitello, the famed manager of the Tennessee Volunteers, is now the manager of the San Francisco Giants. He's the first college baseball head coach ever to make the jump to the major leagues into the dugout as the manager with zero professional coaching experience prior to the hiring. And that is a big deal for a couple reasons, which we're going to get into. But before we do, let me just ask you this blanket statement. What was your reaction to the news?
I think that anyone would be lying if they said that they weren't floored by it. I mean, I remember sitting there on Saturday just watching college football, my unfortunate Boston College Eagles against the UConn Huskies. I'm a sicko for that. But anyways, just enjoying my college football Saturday. And then I think simultaneously, like, our Slack and our phones kind of start blowing up because I forget who was first to report it. It may have been like MLB on Fox, but some reputable account on Twitter had said something along the lines of the Giants and Coach Vitello are nearing an agreement, or he's trending towards being their next manager. And this was after a few week period of kind of silence after that initial floating of his name for jobs like the Braves and even the Giants initially. And everyone was kind of like, yeah, you know, of course it's a possibility, but you know, I'd be shocked if it happens. He's got a great thing going at Tennessee. It's been business as usual over on Knoxville. So it was fun to address that for like a day. And then we pushed it to the side. But then from Saturday through Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was that he was eventually hired, it was kind of a whirlwind because it was like it was trending towards being a done deal. And then there was more radio silence and people were kind of like, hey, you know, what's going on here? People were going out in droves to Tennessee's practice to show their support for Coach Vitello on the program, which I thought was awesome. And he was running his practice and, you know, I give him credit for trying to keep a, you know, business as usual mentality going with all of this going on. Like, I cannot imagine how much he was wrestling with internally with his family behind, you know, closed doors with what to do. And he still showed up in uniform every day, ran his practice, kept a fun environment for his players. He did an outstanding job, I thought, navigating it. So when it was eventually announced, when you were on the ball, when you broke the story, I believe a week ago tomorrow, you know, it was kind of like, whoa, like you said, it's a landmark groundbreaking move. First manager to be hired directly from the college ranks with no pro experience. It's unorthodox. It's interesting. It's like I said, it's interesting and unorthodox. It'll be very, I'm fascinated to see how this will all transpire in a trying to avoid going on a real ramble and tangent, because we'll get into why it's going to be fascinating. But it was quite the move, and who knows, like, this could open up the floodgates, or, you know, we'll see, but very interesting.
And I'll say this, you know, to your point, it is a huge risk on the Giants' part, because if you're Buster Posey and you're the new president of baseball operations of the team that you once starred for, you're kind of hanging your hat on this decision to be the first of this kind to go out and hire a college head coach to be your new manager. We've seen this in the NFL and in the NBA. It is, as we've said now multiple times, unprecedented in baseball for a team to make this kind of a move. And so for the organization, everything is at stake here. I mean, you risk disrupting this front office regime if this doesn't work, because they're basically betting on Tony. If you're Tony Vitello, and as the Baseball America College podcast, I think that's where we need to focus. It's a completely risk-free move to me. I mean, there are people who were kind of bemoaning the decision and wondering whether or not this was wise for Tony Vitello. I personally can't see it any other way. How could you not accept an opportunity to go be the manager of the Giants when you know with certainty that if you're successful, you're a sensation, you're a trendsetter, you open the floodgates, as you just said. If he goes out and he wins a whole bunch of baseball games, what do you think the other 29 clubs are going to do if and when they have a managerial decision that needs to be made? They're going to at least consider, if not act on, a college sitting head coach. They're going to go look and they're going to say, who can replicate what Tony Vitello did? And by the way, I believe that there are multiple people who can do that. Jay Johnson comes to mind. Dave Van Horn comes to mind. Kevin O'Sullivan maybe comes to mind. Kevin Schnall, who's had a lot of success recently. Some of these guys who have been around. Tim Corbin. You know, and granted, none of this is to say that we think that they're willing to leave or that they would be open to it even. But those are the kinds of profiles of head coaches who I think could be remarkably successful, in the same light that Tony Vitello, I think, could be remarkably successful. On the flip side, if Tony Vitello is completely unsuccessful at the major league level, what's going to happen in 3 years, Pete? He's going to be able to basically leave that job or be fired from it, who knows, and go and get a job at the college level where he will be the most sought after head coach on the market, less Jay Johnson or somebody else of that caliber, probably only just Jay. It becomes a free agent in the coaching world. So it's a total win-win situation for Tony. You're a trendsetter, or you're the greatest head coaching hire that could possibly be made on the college side. If you're the Giants, it's a big risk. But if you're asking my opinion, and I'm going to ask you for yours here in a second, I think it's a great move by the Giants. It's a risk worth taking. You bring in somebody who has had provable success with young people. He's a great player developer. He has an eye for talent, as proven by his ability to recruit the transfer portal and bring in guys who have come from low majors and mid majors and make them SEC success stories, where it's the hardest landscape in college baseball to go and be successful and to win. He's won a national championship. What is to stop this guy from going to San Francisco, winning games, being an asset in player development, being an asset in the draft, where the Giants have shown a desire to go and draft more college players? I believe they've only drafted four non-college players over the last two draft cycles. To me, it's brilliant. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think you hit the nail on the head. For starters, when talking about Coach Vitello, it is a relatively low risk, incredibly high reward move. Now, obviously, leaving Tennessee was, I cannot imagine how difficult that was. I mean, he himself built that program essentially from nothing to the point where it is today, and it's at the top of the college baseball mountain. But like you said, let's say it doesn't work out in a couple of years, and you know they mutually decide to part ways. Fine, he can go back to the college game if that's what he ends up wanting to do. And realistically, outside of LSU with Coach Johnson and, you know, probably Vanderbilt with Coach Corbin, and say, I want this job. Like, no one is going to say, no, sorry, Coach Vitello. You know, it's not a good fit for us program wise. And, you know, we're not quite ready to make that hire with you yet. No one is going to say that. So, like you said, it is all the upside in the world. And then with the Giants, you know, they kind of needed a shakeup. It's been a down couple of years. And, you know, this is quite the shakeup managerial wise. But it's clear that him and Buster Posey have developed a relationship and, you know, have at least on the surface appear like they, you know, work well together and, you know, can kind of be in lockstep on certain decisions. And with Coach Vitello at Tennessee, you know, he's the head coach, the scouting director, the GM, the director of player development, all rolled into one. So, I mean, his role kind of, you know, is more consolidated with the Giants. But like you said, I mean, he's a young, a very exciting, invigorating guy that especially we've seen at the college level year in and year out that he can relate to players, get players incredibly fired up and juiced up and, you know, have the mentality of, you know, being ready to run through a brick wall for him. Now at the major league level, it's a lot different. I mean, you go from 50 something to 60 plus games if you're playing in Omaha to 162 plus spring training. It's a lot of different personalities and egos. I know that, you know, with the introduction and rise of NIL, those egos have kind of shown themselves in the college game, but you know, whatever the biggest NIL deal is in college baseball, that is the smallest of small potatoes when it comes to contracts at the major league level. So, I mean, it's a different animal when it comes to, you know, managing those types of guys and managing those that, you know, the locker room and the clubhouse throughout the year and keeping everyone in check so it doesn't unravel and, you know, showing comfortability, making tough choices. You know, there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle, but, you know, Coach Vitello, he's a winner. All he's done everywhere is win. And I know that it's a completely different realm making the jump, but, I mean, if I'm sitting here, if I were a Giants fan, you know, of course I'm excited about it. It's completely new blood. It's, you know, I'd be super juiced up for it. And from Coach Vitello's perspective, it's only upside. I think he is completely and totally playing with the house's money in every sense of the phrase.
Hey, if you want to take care of yourself, your body, and everything that goes into health, fitness, and nutrition, Superpower provides Kratz what I would call the pro experience for the everyday person.
100%. Super easy. You get your lab test results back, and you can streamline exactly what you're deficient in. You can say, okay, this is what the results told me. I'm gonna go ahead and maybe look for that in a supplement, which they provide. I'm gonna go ahead and look at that in my daily workouts, which they give so many different ideas of how to make sure your deficiencies become some of your superpowers.
Superpower used to cost $499. Head to superpower.com right now to learn more and lock in the special $199 price while it lasts. After you sign up, they'll ask you how you heard about them and make sure you mention FT. Your biology decoded, your blueprint activated with Superpower.
You run down the checklist that you just offered, which I think is reasonable. I mean, there are definitely concerns for somebody who's never been at this level of the game, down to you are playing a schedule that is, you know, three times as large as the one that you are used to. And that's going to matter because it comes with different territory in terms of how you're managing players. Fatigue is different. These bodies that you're working with are different. It's less of a developmental thing as it is. Here are these ready-to-go guys who you need to try and have play at their best for 162 games a year. That is, of course, different. However, I will say this. To the NIL point, to the contracts point, to the egos point, I can't help but feel that Tony Vitello has walked into a situation that will allow him to focus more on the baseball than on the general manager aspects of the job that come with college baseball today. We know for a fact that college sports, and this is a blanket statement, this is basketball, football, those two especially, baseball, you now, if you are the head coach, are your own GM. You are working the contracts every offseason to put together your roster. And I want to emphasize the part where I said every single offseason. These players are not under fixed contracts. It is a renegotiation every single year. Your best player is annually a free agent. And until something changes, which by the way, I have no insight that suggests that that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm sure you don't either. Tony Vitello now has shed those responsibilities. You have a support system behind you in the front office. You have a Buster Posey who is in charge of dishing out these contracts and dealing with agents and making sure players are happy. Is there a locker room element that Tony Vitello will have to deal with? Of course there is. And that's the case anywhere, at any level of the sport. However, I like a guy's chances to be a lot more successful in that realm when you're working with guys who are 21 to 35 years old, adults, fully formed adults in the brain. That's what I'm talking about, not physically, than I do working with college kids. It is a tougher demographic to work with college kids who are, in theory, earning six-figure deals annually than it is to walk into a major league clubhouse where these guys are professionals. They know the task at hand. And if you're Tony Vitello, you just got to go worry about learning the baseball part, which, as I acknowledged, there will be a learning curve for him in terms of how he manages the club, what day-to-day looks like, how a game flow operates. It is not the same as anything that he's ever been used to. However, I like his chances to be able to adapt to those things a lot better in his current environment than I think some other people do, because I just don't think he has some of the other worries and responsibilities that would slow down that learning curve.
I also think, and I don't have any insight onto this part, but I think it's going to be key for him to surround himself with experience, get yourself an A-plus bench coach, an A-plus pitching coach, who, especially in the first year of this whole deal, can kind of be there and by your side to, you know, help you out a little bit in whatever capacity and make the transition and the jump as seamless as it possibly can be. Like, there's obviously a huge learning curve, but, you know, I think if you can help yourself out in that manner, that'll be huge. And like you said, and like we both kind of said, you go from being this all-in-one sort of role at the college level to now a more, not granular focus, because it's, you know, the baseball side of things is anything but granular, but like, you are not now, you know, five roles into one. You are the manager of the big league club, and like you said, focusing on the day-to-day and you know, managing in game and all that. So it's a fascinating move. I'm really excited to follow it and see how it works out. I, not to speak for you, I lean towards where you're at, where I think the general consensus will be a pleasant surprise with Coach Vitello. And I just, you know, again, it's unprecedented how it happened. And there's really no bar for, you know, success at the college level and sustained success at the college level, how that translates to the big leagues. But, you know, the guy's a winner. I mean, he's determined as hell. He's fiery and in kind of the best way. And, you know, winners win. And I think whether or not that's in year one, it'll be mighty difficult to, you know, have this drastic turnaround in year one. But, you know, I think this is going to be a successful move for both parties.
I do too. Let's shift our focus back to campus here and take a look at what Tennessee is now dealing with. Of course, in the aftermath of Tony Vitello's departure, Tennessee comes out and says, listen, we think this is a top three job in the country. This is, you know, quoting Danny White, the athletic director, we are opening this up to a national search. This is not just as simple as let's promote from within and keep the continuity. Let's open this up. Let's see who wants in. Let's interview candidates. They hired a search firm, Parker Executive Search, and they opened it up. They really did look nationally for a new head coach. Ultimately, however, they settle on associate head coach Josh Elander, who to me was not a settlement at all. I thought that that was the right hire from the jump. Somebody who has been as much an architect in Tennessee's success over the better part of the last decade as Coach Vitello was. And I'll add this as well. That tennis, I think people forget, just because of how good Tony Vitello and his staff made them, where Tennessee was at before that staff got there. This was not a premier baseball job in the SEC or even the country for that matter. That was a team that was riding the struggle bus. They existed towards the bottom of the conference. And then Tony Vitello and his group came in and changed it into what it is that we know now. Josh Elander was a massive part of that. They gave him a 5-year contract, which to me says everything you need to know. They have lots of confidence in him. It's $1 million annually on average in terms of salary. So a big deal for Josh Elander. For me, Peter, this was the right hire. I couldn't see any other way that they could have gone in order to continue on the track that Tony Vitello put them on and ensure that this wasn't a disruptive force in their progress.
I thought it was a no-brainer for a number of reasons. Not only did he earn it for the reasons that you laid out, he was right there with Coach Vitello, quite literally by his side. Ooh, I got something buzzing around in my podcast setup that I will try and ignore. This is, can we gotta stop the pod? Can we stop?
The holidays can sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has a host of unique, high-quality, and often handmade gifts, many of which are crafted by independent artists and small businesses. That attention to detail often means products are made in small batches, so the best finds can sell out fast, like the book of famous Dodgers newspaper clippings ordered on Uncommon Goods that I received as a birthday gift. It was a special present catered to my liking that can't be found anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard baseball fans like me, to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're not only finding the best and most unique gifts for the people you care about, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice and have donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/BA2022. That's uncommongoods.com/BA2022 for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. All right, we're back. The podcast is back. Peter has saved himself from attack. Some sort of bug situation in Casa Flaherty. I'll allow you to explain yourself, but you were saying about Coach Elander and why that was the right hire.
Yeah, we had an unprecedented bug situation. I think I referred to my little like office nook as my podcast studio, which it technically is, but it's not some real studio. TBD as to whether or not it was a bee. Apologies for the slight freak out, but like I was saying, Coach Elander was a no-brainer. He was there quite literally by Coach Vitello's side, building the Tennessee program up into a, you know, world-class program. And like you said, before Coach Vitello and his staff arrived, they were, you know, at the bottom of the barrel in the SEC. They hadn't made the tournament since 2005, which was also the last time they made the College World Series. But they were kind of in the doldrums a little bit. And they built it up into the place that it is today. Obviously, Coach Vitello at the helm, but Coach Elander has played an integral and immeasurable part in all of this as Coach V's recruiting coordinator, in hitting guy. I mean, we saw the outpouring of support on social media in the immediate aftermath from players, both current and former, even recruits. You know, just kind of saying, you know, to athletic director Danny White, like more or less, this is the guy. And you know, after a pretty brief national search that did involve a handful of candidates, it was decided that Coach Elander would take the reins. And I think it's the right move and a no-brainer for a number of reasons. Not only did he earn it, as you referred to, we mentioned the kind of career arc and working alongside Coach Vitello and building the program up. Like, he was a sought after candidate for other head coaching jobs. And he very well, if he really wanted to, probably could have jumped ship and taken a head job elsewhere, but he decided to remain on Rocky Top with Tennessee. And I also think from a recruiting standpoint, he's an ace recruiter, as evident by the talent that Tennessee has brought in over the last 8+ years. And then if you also look ahead a little bit to the 2026 and 2027 classes, which are particularly eye-popping in terms of, you know, how stacked they are for Tennessee. And Coach Elander was the guy in putting those classes together. So with him being elevated to head coach, you can feel a lot more confident in those classes staying intact. You can also feel a lot more confident in the current year's team staying together and intact, because if they had gone elsewhere, you know, no matter who was hired, there was probably a higher risk of, you know, some of the guys on the 26 team, you know, potentially hopping in the portal, exploring a different route, how to go about 2026. and it would have created a real kind of tumultuous, and no pun intended, rocky time on Rocky Top. So for all of the reasons laid out, I think it was, you know, a great move by Danny White. You lock him up for 5 years. And I think for as drastic a transition this is for Tennessee, especially given the timing, like, I don't think anyone ever envisioned Coach Vitello leaving Tennessee unless it was like 30 years from now. And, you know, he's retiring after a number of, you know, titles and Omaha appearances. But I think it makes the transition as easy as possible, and you don't really miss a beat.
I agree with that. I will also just clarify. I think that there was a lot of truth to, let's talk about Texas A&M for a second, and it's not as random as it may sound. When Jim Schlossnagel made the unexpected departure for Texas, that stood to be a very destabilizing force for Texas A&M. You have the coach leave. It's the off season. The transfer portal is open. You can transfer for free. There is, you know, the one-time transfer rule has long been already gone. And so Texas A&M is in a position where its superstars have an opportunity to go anywhere that they could possibly want to. And you have Texas A&M starting from square one, regardless of who they hire. At that time, it became very quickly clear that the only way for Texas A&M to keep its very talented core intact was by hiring and promoting from within Michael Early. And Michael Early gets the job. I can tell you that, you know, having relationships with college coaches from around the country, Michael Early is a well-respected hitting coach. He still is that. They had a tough first year, but this is somebody who was well-respected. However, the truth is that that hire was made with the intent to keep the roster together. That was a significant motivating force in that decision. This is not the same. And it's really important to make that clear here. This is not the same because Tennessee's players, while they could have entered the transfer portal anytime that there is a coaching change in college sports now, there is a special 30-day window for players to be able to enter the transfer portal. However, that does not save those players from the eligibility rules that are in play throughout the NCAA. Because the academic calendar was already underway for 2025-26, those players who decided to transfer in the wake of Tony Vitello's departure would not have been eligible to play in the 2026 season unless they were graduate transfers or took this case to court, which we're seeing a lot of, and won. Which, by the way, totally possible. But court cases take time. We saw that last year with Alberto Ozuna, who in theory could have become eligible, but it took so long that he never really even had the chance. So Tennessee's players didn't really have a chance to leave. Tennessee could have made an exterior hire, and those players probably end up staying. They could have called the bluff and basically said, we don't think you're going to go to JUCO. We don't think you're going to transfer and go sit out for a year. We're hiring the person who we want to hire, and you're staying put. It's entirely possible that they could have done that. They chose to hire Elander because he was the best person for the program right now, and he is the best person for the program in the future. This had nothing to do really with the immediacy of the impact of a coaching change, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's such an important point and piece to touch on, because this was not a like save the roster move. This was the right move for Tennessee baseball now and the longevity of Tennessee baseball and preserving that national championship standard. And I think that he is the right person to carry that torch. And, you know, I think that, you know, Tennessee baseball is set up to continue to be the powerhouse that it has for the better part of the last decade. I don't think that the standard changes at all. I actually know the standard doesn't change at all. And they will remain kind of one of the premier programs in the sport. So I think it's obviously it's been a whirlwind couple of weeks for volunteer baseball, but I think that in the end, fans can be really, really excited about the hands in which the program is right now, because I think that it's set up for sustainable success.
This did have an impact, though, across the rest of the college baseball landscape, because, as I said, there was a search that occurred. This was not some sort of faux national search where it was a lot of talk and it was Elander the entire time. I really do think that Tennessee, I know that Tennessee did its due diligence. Parker Search, you know, was a part of this for a reason. they did evaluate their options outside of the Tennessee program. And a few of those options we know about, and it made an impact on those programs. Link Jarrett at Florida State is a seminal in terms of he played there. He's a program legend. He's had a tremendous amount of success already in his first 3 years atop the program. That is a team headed in the right direction. And Tennessee rightfully identified him as somebody who would be a great hire for the program. In response, Florida State got ahead of it and said, "You're not leaving. We are going to amend his contract and pay him more." They paid a lot more here. Now he's going to make an average $2.1 million over the course of the next 6 years. He was set to make, over the course of those 6 years, $1.2 million. He's now one of the top 15 highest paid coaches in the country. As a matter of fact, he's, I believe, just on the cusp of the top five. It's a well-deserved situation. There's no more years added to the contract. There's still 6 years left, but this is how it'll work from now until the end of the deal. He's set to make $1.85 million, including a $200,000 retention bonus this year, $2 million in 2027, $2.1 in 28, $2.2 in 29, $2.3 in 2030, and $2.4 million in 2031. A lucrative deal for a coach who deserved it.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was smart on Florida State's part. Obviously, you know, the potential rumblings about the Tennessee opening, and then it also, separate from that, felt like such a smart move. It's clear that, you know, Coach Jarrett is the guy to lead Seminole baseball, not only now, but also in the future. They're coming off of back-to-back super regional appearances, went to the College World Series in 2024. They have another talented roster as we look towards 2026. And I think his ability to navigate the transfer portal recruiting landscape and also developing the talent that you bring in, whether it be from, you know, more of like the homegrown kind of guy you recruit him at a high school or the portal. I think that he checks a lot of boxes. I know that they're doing work to put in a new indoor hitting facility, not like this major facility, but just a more expansive area for guys to get their work in. He's young. He mentioned the recruiting chops. I think that, you know, Florida State, they've already kind of broken down the door to Omaha, which we saw in 2024, but I think that they're closer than they are not to breaking down that like national championship type of door. I do think that they have that type of upside, not only this year, but going forward. I think that the standard has been set by Coach Jarrett as to what this program is all about. After an unbelievable job by, you know, Coach Martin Sr., God rest his soul, obviously wasn't the best couple of years with Junior there, but, you know, Coach Jarrett has kind of, you know, recovered the standard, so to speak. And I think, you know, I think everyone is breathing a sigh of relief that they inked him to this long-term extension.
Absolutely. And it really would have stood to destabilize a program that is headed in a very impressive direction. Link Jarrett won 49 games in 2024, made a College World Series appearance, Super Regional in 2025 with 42 wins. Very quickly has become a proven winner at a program where he won a lot of games as a player back in the day under Coach Martin. Another coach who was involved in the Tennessee tornado, in the very brief Tennessee tornado before the Elander promotion, was Coastal Carolina's Kevin Schnall. We know, according to sources, that he interviewed for the job. There was significant interest and a connection between Tennessee athletic director Danny White and Coach Schnall. Both of them were at UCF at the same time years ago. Coach Schnall took a break from his tenure at Coastal, where he was a longtime assistant just for a couple years. And it was at UCF where he was with Danny White at the same time. They tried to rekindle that relationship. I guess somewhere along the lines, Kevin Schnall decided that Coastal was the best option for him. So he stays in Conway. But it does bring up this point. That's another program that's in a really great spot. They just made a College World Series appearance in which they got to the national championship. Obviously, Coach Schnall in his first year was the Baseball America Manager of the Year, which he's the only one of one now. We've never had a first-year head coach win National Coach of the Year, but he'll stay put with the Chanticleers right now. And I think that is also for the betterment of a program that is headed in an outstanding direction.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent year one for Coach Schnall. It was their second best season in program history, obviously behind the national championship team in 2016. They set a number of program records. Coach Schnall was named National Coach of the Year. I think that, as a quick little aside, and it's not an exact parallel, obviously, for a few reasons, but like the Vitello Elander situation is a little bit similar to, there are some similarities with Coach Gilmore and Coach Schnall. Obviously, Coach Gilmore retired on his own after a storybook tenure at the Shont's helm. But then it was more of the like passing of the torch to a highly regarded, up and coming, proven assistant coach who was one of the top assistants in the sport in Coach Schnall. And we saw how seamless and that transition was and successful that transition's been. Obviously, that's not saying, you know, it's going to be apples to apples and the exact same at Tennessee, though it's another reason as to why the, you know, Tennessee fans can feel optimistic about it. But in any event, Coach Schnall and his staff as well, especially Coach Williams, the pitching coach, have just done an excellent job. They hit the ground sprinting in 2025. They obviously lose a lot from last year's team, but there's an impressive foundation in piece, in place, rather, for them to make another deep run in June. Like, its pitching staff is led by Cameron Flukey, who we've talked about at length, but they also return guys like Dominic Carbone, Scott Duran, Hayden Johnson, Luke Jones, Ryan Lynch. Those were all high impact arms on that 2025 team. There are some question marks offensively, but Dean Mijos led the team in hitting last year. He'll once again set the table atop the order. And then they also brought in a handful of transfers, Cole Chamberlain from Texas, Jordan Taylor from Stetson, Lucas Buckner. I think that, you know, it's unfair to any team to set the bar at 56-13 and 26-4 in conference. So like, that's not where I'm going to set it for Coastal this year, but make no mistake about it. Like, they will again be kind of the team with the target on their back, atop the Sun Belt and have the pieces in place, to be playing well into June.
And you brought up something that I actually think we really need to touch on, which is the similarities between the move that we just saw and a couple that have happened in recent years that have actually gone on to be very successful. You mentioned Coach Schnall replacing Coach Gilmore after the retirement. Another one that comes to mind for me is Steve Sabins over at West Virginia, who replaced Randy Mazey. Was a longtime assistant over there, 9 years, I believe, with the Mountaineers. Randy Mazey retires. Coach Sabins is promoted this past season. Great season. You know, they've already gotten off to a great start. So we have seen these longtime assistants get promoted and then go on to have a lot of success. I think it's where it gets a little bit more murky is the quicker promotions, guys who haven't had as long a standing with their, you know, respective programs that get the promotion to head coach, maybe in a rushed way or in an unexpected way that opens the door for a little bit more unpredictability. But we're talking about guys who are as familiar with the inner workings of their programs as anybody could be. You know, Coach Schnall was with Coach Gilmore for, I think it was like 15 years, you know, excluding that little gap where they were he was at UCF. Sabin, same thing, almost a decade under Coach Mazey. And so it's almost a continuation. It's not the same as bringing in an assistant who is relatively new to the program. It's certainly not the same as going outside and hiring somebody even with a great reputation. This is kind of an extension of what Coach Vitello already built. And there is precedent in recent years for those kinds of hires going on to be very successful in college baseball.
Yeah, and I think furthermore, and this isn't a slight at any program or coach, but the bucket that none of those coaches fall into, Coach Sabins, Coach Schnall, and Coach Elander, they do not fall into the bucket of being hired to keep the roster intact. They, and this is not to say otherwise, but like they, as you said, they know the inner workings of the program, like the back of their hand. It was earned for a number of reasons. So I think that, you know, there's a pretty encouraging track record of guys that of coaches that fit that mold and having continued success for the programs of which they took the reins. So, to keep on circling back to Coach Elander. Like, I think it's just all the more reason to feel excited and optimistic among the host of others.
I have a feeling that this will not be the last that we talk about the Coach Vitello situation in one way or another on this podcast, whether that's because, and we will do this, is we continue to track, you know, Coach Elander's progress atop his team now, or quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me to see other transitions where college coaches get that call up to the major leagues to go work in a dugout on the pro side of things. I think this is going to be a recurring topic on the podcast. However, for this episode, that is going to do it. If you enjoy our content, head on over to baseballamerica.com/college and check out everything that Peter and I are putting up. We are working year round to cover the college game. We've seen our fans, our fans, college baseball fans is the best way to put that, really grow. And so we want to thank you for that as we, you know, near the end of this year. It's been awesome to see the level of growth that college baseball has had. We want to make sure that we get you the best content as such. So again, baseballamerica.com/college. Head on over to Baseball America on YouTube. We got a lot of great stuff over there. Broader baseball talk that isn't just limited to the college game. And of course, wherever you get your podcast, check us out. We're out live every 2 weeks on Tuesdays. Today is October 28th. The next time we see you will be in, you know, mid-ish November. But for this episode, again, we can't thank you enough for sticking around and listening. For Peter Flaherty, I'm Jacob Rudner, and we will see you next time.